Taylor Decker's on my all 22 fantasy team.
Stop. They don't care.
So the strategic component to this game is through the roof.
Your predictions, right? Your forecasting in fantasy football into how good is this player?
This is going to, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah. I moved to the old town where it goes down. Look at me now. I wrote my goals down. I hold it down. Made myself proud. Say, look at me now.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into the All 22 NFL podcast, the official podcast of the All 22 fantasy football platform. It's the only fantasy football game with full 53-man rosters, including offensive linemen, where you get to choose personnel packages and have access to PFF grading and advanced stats to make decisions each week. To learn more and sign up, go to all-22.com. Ray, we are officially playing each other in the conference round of the All 22 playoffs. It's on, buddy.
It's on, and nobody cares if they heard the intro music. But yeah, we talked about sort of the dichotomy of the advantage you have as a founder of the platform versus the disadvantage you have when you're working on the platform all season. And I guess it's advantage there, because the proof is in the pudding here. One of the founders is going to the chip. So yeah, we've heard from some users, some devastating losses by 0.05 points at points in time. So not 0.5, 0.05, which is, that's terrible. That's like 2 yards on a punt or something. That's like a difference in the punt being down at the 22 versus the 19 or something. But yeah, it's that time of year. More and more users are joining the camp of my season's over. So now I'm looking at trades and just draft prospects, while others are, you know, really ratcheting up the intensity because they're one of the final four teams left in their respective leagues. So we have a show for all of you. Welcome aboard.
And congrats to all of those that made it this far. And the last thing you want right now, the last thing, is to lose the conference round before the championship because of injuries. But this week was devastating. Last week we talked about Overshown and Brooks and how those injuries were pretty terrible. This week was pretty bad in itself. We had Mahomes with a pretty devastating ankle sprain. He's week to week. Is he going to play the rest of the year, you know, before entering the playoffs? They're already, what, 12 or 13 and 1 or something like that? Like, do they need to put him out there on the field? I don't know. We're going to see. Josh Allen hurt his shoulder. He seems like he's going to be okay. Jalen Hurts broke a finger on his non-throwing hand. Geno Smith, knee injury. He's TBD. Like, those are big-time starting quarterbacks for plenty of teams, right? And you now have a question mark at your best, most valuable position. How do you even handle that?
I don't worry. You can't sit Mahomes or Allen, or I would sit Hurts, but you can't sit these guys. I mean, there is no, oh, I'm sitting Mahomes, his ankle's sore. It doesn't matter. If he's playing, he's playing. So I don't do anything when it comes to my quarterback. That's the horse that got me there. And I ride it until I can't anymore. And that's that. I don't overthink it. You ride the people that got you there. No Diddy. And that's just what you got to do. It's the semifinals. Yeah. You ride the horse that got you where you are. Don't overthink.
Yeah, I agree
it.
With that. And just remember, in the All 22 platform, there is auto sub. If one of these guys ends up not playing or getting knocked out early, your backup will go in, but you need to make sure you have a good backup in these situations. And there is a serious concern now with these players. So something to think about. Spencer Brown as well, the Bills tackle, left the game with a concussion. David Montgomery's out for the year with his MCL tear. Mack Wilson has been a really good starter on the Cardinals. He was starting for me some weeks. He has concussion now. He might be out. Trevon Diggs is out for the year. Quinn Miners has a shoulder, TBD on that. Pat Surtain, ankle sprain. He's week to week. Aleem McNeil. I know that's the one that's really hurting you, Ray. ACL out for the year. Defensive interior is basically, in my opinion, the one that I prefer to attack early and often in drafts, because if you are strong there, you know, we're saying these guys last week, there's guys that are playing 35, 36 years old, still doing well. If you hit on 2, 3, 4 defensive interior players, you could have them for a long time. Losing a guy like Aleem McNeil before the championship game, before the conference round, devastating.
Yeah, it's really rough. That's one of those where obviously it's bad enough. You're not going to have him if you're still alive and kicking in your leagues. You're not going to have him for the championship rounds. But we're talking about a 325, 330 pound player with a serious knee injury suffered in December. So this is something that's going to impact his play in 2025, next year as well. So we might not see the Lee McNeil we've come to know and love until 2026. So, you know, two seasons from now. And that's the most devastating part of all this, is that any major injury suffered now has lingering effects beyond this season and the immediate future, and likely into, if not all of, next season as well. And that's the tough part, especially for a big guy like Lee McNeil at a position where it's hard to find guys that play at that level that consistently. That they just don't come around very often. Lee McNeil, in my opinion, is one of the top five defensive interior players in the entire league. And yeah, it's a huge loss. There is no waiver wire pickup to stop the bleeding. There's none of that. It's just something you just have to swallow the pill and hope that you can make up for it elsewhere and cross your fingers that you have enough to get across the finish line these next 2 weeks. But it really does alter draft strategy as well. I can't in good conscience count on Lee McNeil to be his old self starting next year right off the bat. Could it happen? Sure. I mean, Rashawn Gary kind of came back and, you know, came on really strong right away from his injury. I know you're nodding your head over there, but I mean, by and large, he was still a very effective player. But we're talking about someone who outweighs him by another like 65 pounds. It's different when you're dealing with bodies that big. So yeah, I don't know. I'm taking a closer look at Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant in my rookie draft. Likely. I typically take quality defensive interior players if I like them and I can get them anyway, even if it's a position of relative strength, but especially if the one I'm counting on the most is coming off of a major knee injury. So yeah, bad news all around there. We're going to stick with knee injuries here and talk about Trayvon Diggs, which is another one that really is interesting because he tore his ACL last year, early in the season, left ACL. And then this past weekend, shut it down for the year because he has a cartilage injury to that same knee. And his recovery timeline is expected to be 8 months. That puts you right around the start of next season as well. Second major injury to that same knee. Pretty much ever since the Cowboys paid him, it's been an absolute disaster. Him and Deron Bland have never been on the field at the same time. But what's interesting, and Clarence Hill on the Cowboys beat really brought this up, is if you look at Trayvon Diggs' contract, the Cowboys have an out after this season. And he will cost, you know, $12 million in dead cap, which is not a good number. You don't want that, right? But then he's off the books. He's going to be 28 years old, coming off of two consecutive major knee injuries. That might be one where they just swallow the pill again and just, you know, eat it next season and move on. You can't, again, reliably count on this player. And the profile is not setting up for someone who's now going to go back to his old form at age, 29, back when he was picking off passes as a 24-year-old leading the league in interceptions. It's just one of those deals where it seems like it might not have worked out. And if you're a Trayvon Diggs owner, I'm not sure you're going to find a better situation than being a ball hawking cornerback playing behind someone like Micah Parsons, who forces early pressure and forces turnover worthy plays. That's pretty much the best possible fit you could have for Trayvon Diggs. So if that changes by any means, you can't count on the player, even just in that aspect, health permitting, that you become accustomed to over the last 2 to 3 years on the platform. So I would sell him maybe in the midst of all this other injury news. People have not yet caught on to how serious this is for Trayvon Diggs. I might move on from Diggs as well. So I think the theme here is some of these injuries, yes, there's a lot of them. The quantity is upsetting. But I think if you look at some in particular, you have to look at some of the long-lasting effects and see if that changes how you go about team building in the offseason.
All good points. There's three others I just wanted to touch on really quick. Jalen Waddle has a knee injury as well. It's not thought to be serious, but it's definitely something to watch. Landon Dickerson also has a knee injury. It's TBD. Nothing's been released about it. TJ Watt, low ankle injury. Usually the low is better than the high, so we expect that he would try to play through it. especially with the Steelers being where they are, but it's something that could affect his play. And the reason I wanted to bring up this topic of injuries, and obviously the list is really long, and again, you're going into your conference round, you have to build depth at those positions. Now that you know that there's some lingering injury with these players, even if they decide to play, you need to make sure you have depth behind them. Go hit free agency, go find that hidden needle in the haystack that can get you the win. If you need to call on them, make it happen. You need to build that depth. But let's jump to another conversation, Ray, for those teams that are out and looking to next year. One thing that you have to start thinking about at this time is what players on my team are going to be free agents. And PFF released a list on December 4th that listed out the top 25. We're going to go through about 15 of these guys. And I want to have a conversation. We're both going to say our opinion. Whether we would be buyers or sellers, what would we rather be, buyers or sellers of each of these players? First guy up, we all know the number one on PFF's big board list of free agents is T. Higgins. T. Higgins is 26 years old, 85.4 PFF grade this year. We know he's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he's really consistent when he plays. The negatives, he's missed so much time due to injuries, 7 games in the last 2 years. At this point, it's looking like it's going to be the Patriots. Maybe Carolina comes up with some cash. I don't know, but it's going to be one of those lower teams that are finishing towards the bottom this year that are going to shell out cash to fill the receiver position. If you're a T. Higgins owner going into this offseason with the unknown, are you looking to be a buyer or a seller?
I'm selling on the news there because the hype is going to be high. He's going to get a big contract. And I think really you have to just take a look at what situation would be better than what he's got now as far as Joe Burrow throwing him the football. He's got Ja'Marr Chase on the other side there taking attention away, and he has missed games. So I would sell the news on T. Higgins when the hype is really high after he signs a big deal and goes to a new team, whether it's the Patriots or whoever, and people are talking about what a great fit it is. I'm going to use that opportunity to sell an injury-prone player who's likely not going to a better situation for himself, especially considering the wide receiver position is deep. You can find a quality wide receiver. They might not contend for a top 8 overall season like Higgins might if he stays healthy over a full season, but you can find quality guys in that wide receiver 22 to 40 range that can give you quality results week in and week out, and you don't have to worry about injury. They're going to be available, and you can spend that high if it's a startup draft. You could spend that high pick elsewhere at maybe defensive interior, like we were talking about earlier, to shore up your team elsewhere and still be perfectly fine every week at wide receiver, and better than fine, most likely, with some more consistent players. So I would absolutely sell T. Higgins on the news this offseason.
I'm in agreement with you. Usually when there's a 26-year-old guy that's in his prime and looking elite, I say be a buyer, right? But at the receiver position, you touched on it. It's so deep. I don't think you need to do that for a player like T. Higgins, so I would also be a seller. Trey Smith is second on their list. Guard from the Chiefs, 26 years old as well, 77.6 PFF grade this year, and we know him. He's one of the best young guards in football. Massive, massive, massive human being. But I think you need to ask yourself, is this a result of the offense he's a part of? You know, 6th-round pick, stepped up in a big way, and is doing fantastic things. But if he does not get re-signed by the Chiefs, does it look the same? I think that's a really big question mark. For me, I think that makes me a seller. But I also know how hard it is to get guard right in the All-22 platform and how rare it is to have a good one, especially a young one. So I'm saying that with caution. If you get the right return, be a seller.
I'll never sell Trey Smith. I just won't. I collect quality big football players, and he's a quality big football player. I think ultimately he stays in Kansas City anyway, but if he doesn't, yes, he's playing next to a phenomenal center in Creed Humphrey, but I would imagine that his next stop will have a better option next to him at tackle than he's been dealing with in Kansas City, which, again, you want to talk about synergies and all else there. I don't think the situation around him will get much worse, because if there's one thing that is pretty subpar when it comes to the Chiefs, it's the offensive line in particular at on the edges of that offensive line as well. So it's not as if he's surrounded by immediate just great talent around him that is propelling him to this performance. He's just that good of a player. And at his age, guards can go into their early-ish 30s. I'm 100% keeping him. It's hard to find. And there seems to be a couple good rookies in this class, but I'm not selling Trey Smith. I don't think I'd get the return I want. I'm keeping him.
I think there would have to be some big things to happen to the Chiefs this offseason, like maybe Travis Kelce retiring, for them to want to spend that kind of money on another interior offensive lineman, because Creed Humphrey has already been paid. Do you really have $200 million interior offensive linemen? I don't know. And I think somebody's going to give Trey Smith that money. We saw last year Robert Hunt get that money. It's another year. He's going to get that same kind of paycheck. So I think it's more likely that he leaves because the money's just going to be too fantastic for him else out there on the market.
So number three, the Chiefs are going to solve offensive tackle, and then they're just going to create a hole at guard. So now Mahomes is going to get the pressure in his face. That's just how it's going to work. We're always going to be watching Mahomes roll out and throw under pressure every week.
That's why it's hard to pay your quarterback $50+ million, right? I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
Fair enough.
Javon Holland is number three on PFF's free agent big board. Safety from Miami, 25 years old. He's entering free agency. I think he's the youngest guy in this list. 60.9 PFF grade this year. There's been a lot of ups and downs in this guy's career. 84.7 as a rookie, and then last year, 90.4. But in between, there was a 65.5, and then this year, 60.9. I worry that I think Miami itself is very volatile. So I don't know if I place all of the blame on him, right? They went from having an extremely deep group of edge rushers to take pressure off of the DBs to having almost nothing, right? And they have to draft and start a rookie who looks great. But, you know, again, that wasn't the expectation going in. I think Javon Holland has done a nice job there. I do think he hits the open market. I don't know if he leaves Miami ultimately, but I do think he hits the open market. And I would expect that. I think the chances are that he would sign elsewhere. I think for all of those reasons and all of those unknown, it's, again, 25 years old, it's really hard to sell that. He probably hasn't even hit his prime yet, but I think I need to sell.
I would buy him before he signs anywhere or re-signs. I want to sign him or trade for him before he's in the news. So as soon as this thing opens back up again after the season, I'm putting in some offers, hoping that whoever has him on their roster is not one of those Javon Holland, no matter what guys, because there are people like that, and I don't necessarily blame them. But just in general, that's one I would want to buy before the news, because I think this price tag is going to go up once he's in the news for whatever deal he gets, because he is going to get paid because he is a good player. There's just been a lot of inconsistency over there around him in Miami, both good and bad. So, you know, some people might be tired of the roller coaster, and I'll try to take advantage of that.
Okay. All right. So I'm selling, you're buying. Perfect. We made a pair. Chris Godwin is number four on the list, 29 years old, 86.3 PFF grade this year, but it was very limited. He ended the season with an injury. We know him, great route runner, absolute fantastic leader in that locker room. He's Mr. Consistent, but he's also always injured. And at 29 years old, I don't know how those injuries stacking up is going to end up going, right? I think if you are in a win now situation, I would say this is the perfect player to go buy, because you probably can get him for rather cheap, maybe a fifth, sixth round pick. And if you're on the selling side, again, if you're in a rebuild, you sell. If you're ready to compete, I think this is the perfect guy to keep and just let him rock for another year. But, you know, you're the Penn State guy. Tell me what you think.
Well, you know how I am about wide receivers who have serious knee injuries. And then now we watched him just get his ankle flattened on live television. So there's just two major red flags. So I'm absolutely buying Chris Godwin if I am in contention, because quite frankly, I thought his counterpart, Mike Evans, by this point in time would be on the fritz, and he's still kicking alive and well. And I think Chris Godwin is just the type of player that is just going to, he's pretty much the epitome of what I was discussing earlier when it comes to why I wouldn't spend a high pick on T. Higgins, because you can find a dependable type of wide receiver much later on for much less investment. That's Chris Godwin. It's not like he wins with just overt explosion and playing above the rim or anything else. He's just a consistent, get open, smooth operating route runner who just makes dependable play after dependable play. I don't think that goes away, even if maybe he falls off a little bit. from, you know, this injury, and I imagine you could pick him up pretty cheap. So he might not be an every week starter anymore, given the stage of his career that he's entering. But if you can get him as a wide receiver four that you could plug in as a third guy, depending on matchup, or if you see that he is sort of continuously putting up his weekly 72, 73 type of grading where he's not winning you the week, but by God, he's giving you an advantage over the flex of the other team of your opponent's offense, then yeah, I'm absolutely buying that if I'm contending, because yeah, it's cheap, it's dependable, it's reliable. The price tag's not too high.
Okay, we're on the same page. Number five on the PFF big board is Khalil Mack, edge rusher for Los Angeles Chargers, 34 years old, 90.9 PFF grade still. I think we're talking about a borderline Hall of Famer here. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. It's up for, you know, we can discuss, but I think he's definitely borderline, and he's still producing extremely well. Is there a cliff on the horizon? Is he too expensive of a veteran to go get? I don't think so. I think this is the perfect buy. If you're a win now team, go get a guy like Khalil Mack, because right now I am dealing with an injured Max Crosby, and I would love to be able to go get a Khalil Mack to help me on this playoff run. Unfortunately, it's too late for me, but this offseason, it's definitely something I'm going to look into.
Man's got to have a code, and I just cannot buy a 34-year-old edge rusher. I just can't do it. The legs are too old. I just can't do it. He's a great player. I'll let someone else keep him and roster him and see if he can do this at 35. But I'm not going to give up a draft pick for him.
If you're selling him, what are you asking for?
A fourth or fifth? Fifth? I would sell him for a fifth. I would sell him for a fifth round pick. That's a, you know, it's a top 50 player. And in this class, you know, maybe I have an overinflated sense of scouting prowess, but I feel like I could find a quality player there. And understanding his age, I'm not going to get, you know, a round three type of return. I would trade him for a fifth if we're talking people, draft capital.
People, if you're listening out there, if you can get a 90.9 at edge rusher week over week for a fifth round pick, for even if it's for a year, go do it. Go do that. And that's why I'm saying, like, that's it's the perfect balance there. Me and Ray are going to be great trade partners this offseason. DJ Reed is next on the PFF list at cornerback for the Jets, 28 years old, 73.3 PFF grade. He's been a really solid starter for them. Great. It's a great defense to be a part of. I think he uses his strengths really well, right? He's a smaller guy. And that does concern me a little bit, because if he does leave the Jets, which I actually don't expect him to, I think he's going to stay because he knows that it's the perfect spot for him. But if he does leave, I worry a team's going to pay him as a number one corner. And I just don't think at his size or his skill set, he could be that, right? And 28 years old, corners typically don't age extremely well. That's a tough sell for me. I think I'm definitely a seller on DJ Reed.
Yeah, I hold if he stays with the Jets, or I sell if he goes anywhere else. I think he's a good player. He's given you some quality seasons. And I think you're not going to get anything better than what you've already seen from him. So I would absolutely be a seller, even if it's before. Like I said, if he stays with the Jets, I guess I hold, but I would sell even before I know exactly where he's going. If I get a good enough offer, I would sell him before free agency even hits.
Okay. I got to talk to the big dogs over at PFF for who they had at number seven. I was a little shocked by this, but they have Amari Cooper at number seven, wide receiver now on the Bills. He's 31 years old. Has a 68.3 PFF grade this year. We've seen his game for a long time, right? Vet with big playability. But it's pretty clear that age has caught up to him at 31. I don't see him as the seventh best free agent prospect personally. This is an easy sell for me. This is somebody that I would probably even consider releasing at the end of the year if he's on my team and I really need that spot.
So the Browns broke him. They finally did it. And then even by the time he left town, he just wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's also just 31 years old at receiver, and he's a bigger bodied guy. It's tough.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen the best from Cooper. I think he's still going to give you random weeks where he performs really well, because he's still a fantastic tactician at the position and can make things happen as a route runner, but he's not the guy we saw put up like 180 yards on Thanksgiving night for the Cowboys back in his heyday. I think those days are gone. It's time to sell.
tactician. Fantastic word. Ronnie Stanley is number 8 on the list. Tackle from Baltimore, 31 years old, 70.8 PFF grade this year. And he's been probably the most trusted offensive lineman for Baltimore in the last, 8 years or something like that. But he's never played an entire 16-game season. The best ability is availability for me, especially on the offensive line. Tackle is such a hard position to have those solid starters week in and week out. It's really hard to trust a guy that just can't stay healthy. I think for me, he's still valuable. I think you can still get something valuable for him. You were talking about a fifth round pick for Mac. I think Stanley, 31 years old, again, tackles tend to age a little bit better. I think he can probably fetch you maybe an early fourth round pick. And I think if you can get that, I'm selling.
I'm not giving you that for Stanley. I worry about his injury history. I think there's an Achilles in there as well, which that leads me to believe he won't age as well as some other offensive tackles have in the past. So I think he's a good player that's been sapped by injuries. And I would just say it's a bad time to need offensive tackles. So if you do need one, you can't get one in the draft, but I wouldn't necessarily turn to Ronnie Stanley either to help solve that issue for me. So I'm definitely not a buyer for Ronnie Stanley.
Okay, and this is where the conversation really heats up, Ray. It's your boy. Number 9 is Sam Darnold, QB from currently Minnesota. That's where he stopped at right now. 28 years old. He will be 28 years old when he plays next season. 84.8 PFF grade this year. And we've all, you know, taken note of this amazing run that he's on for one of the top offenses in the NFL. And you know what? Truth is he's really driving that ship, and he's doing a great job doing it. Did he learn enough this year? Did he learn to play within structure? Has he learned to be a leader on a team at, you know, again, 27, 28 years old? Or is this a one-year thing? And if someone else signs him, if he goes somewhere else, that's not one of the best coach teams in the NFL with Justin Jefferson and a good offensive line and a good running game, does it fall off? What are you getting for Sam Darnold? What are you asking for? And is it worth it? This is tough for me. I want to have the conversation before I make my decision.
So Sam Darnold has proven a lot of things this year. He's proven he is a starting quarterback in the NFL and a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL. I would also say after some injuries, he's proven he can still get it done despite the offensive line not being so great anymore in Minnesota. They've suffered some loss of tackle there, and it's impacted some things up front, and he's still performed very well and won a lot of games there. I think ultimately he resigns with the Vikings, which would be an overall good thing. I do think, based on his career, you cannot conclude at this point anything but the fact that while he is a quality starting quarterback, he is dependent on situation. You can't just drop him on the Raiders and think he's going to put up the same type of performance. We've seen that that's not the case. Maybe he found some stability and now has that foundation as a player to fare much better in a less than ideal situation than back when he was 21 years old with the Jets or when he was with the Panthers when they were still a mess. But that's not a certainty because we've only seen quality play when he's with an environment like the Vikings. So I would say it's a bit situational dependent, but if he re-signs with the Vikings, A, I'm keeping him. But if someone is trying to trade for him, then you have to give me a one. I assume you're going to either you like a quarterback enough to take one in the rookie class, you know, in a rookie draft upcoming here, or you don't and you want to get someone else and look elsewhere, and that's fine. But then I'm going to need that first round pick because that's just he's a quarterback. That's what it's going to take. So similar compensation to what you would expect in the actual league for a starting NFL quarterback at the very least, especially one who's not even 30 years old yet or won't be 30 for another couple of years. So I think ultimately stays in Minnesota and I would hold him, but he would go for a pretty high price tag if I were to move him if he stays there. I don't even think Darnold wants to be in another type of rebuild situation. He's done that for too many years in his career already. I think he knows better. And I think even over, you know, $2 or $3 million a year, he's not going to make a move like that.
Yeah. And I think you hit on the most important thing, which is I think if you own Sam Darnold, you actually cannot move him until you know if he's going to re-sign or not. So I think the advantage of the free agency conversation doesn't really make sense for Sam Darnold. You need to know if he's going to re-sign in Minnesota. If he does re-sign in Minnesota, I am probably keeping because I think you have a quality starter. If somebody offers you two first-round picks or a first and a second, maybe I consider it, but I think that's what it would take if he re-signs in Minnesota. If he does not and he goes to a team like the Raiders, his value diminishes in a huge way, in my opinion. I think at that point, trade him all day, get what you can. And I'm thinking that's going to look like something like a second and a fourth. And I think you take it.
You sound like someone who doesn't believe in Shedeur Sanders if he goes to the Raiders, but we'll have that conversation.
We will have that conversation. Okay. Number 10 on this list is Josh Sweat, edge for Philadelphia, 28 years old, 73.4 PFF grade. He's been a solid player for the team for years, but I don't think he ever really reached that elite status. And I think that, you know, knowing that he wasn't a first or second round draft pick, is he a bit of an outcome of just being a part of that situation and that organization? I don't know what's going to happen if he leaves. And with the contracts that they have tied up, I think he does leave. I think he kind of has to leave to get the payday that he deserves, right? 28 years old. There's still probably 3 years of good play in him where he can make some really nice money. I think he leaves and I think I'm selling.
Yeah, he's in a fantastic situation as is right now. Like you said, never broke into that elite tier, so you don't expect it after this stage, after this point in time. So I'm glad I had him for the last 3 years, but I'm a seller.
Okay, there are five other guys that I wanted to just touch on here because, in my opinion, they might be higher valued in my mind than some of the guys we already spoke about, but they weren't top 10 for PFF. Fine. Travarius Ward for San Francisco had a really devastating year. He lost his one-year-old daughter, and he's spoken publicly about how he's grieving with that. He's had a rough year, 54.3 PFF grade. He's 29 years old, but he was fantastic the previous two seasons, 83.2 grade, 82.6. I imagine that if he re-signs in San Francisco, he's going to bounce back. I think this guy deserves an offseason to do that. Even if he goes elsewhere, I do think an offseason is going to do him wonders just for his mental health, and I think I'm a buyer here because of how hard it is to get cornerback right and the skill that this guy has shown us. I'm definitely a buyer.
Yeah, as long as you understand the timeline, given what his age will be and that you probably have, you can reliably count on 1 year before that age 30 threshold for corners, then by all means, yes.
Buy. Okay. Hufanga, another 49er safety, 26 years old, 62. God bless you. 62.6 PFF grade. He had two solid years, 68.8, 70.5, part of that great defense, and he's dealt with injuries the past 2 years. 26-year-old safety, though, with solid play is pretty hard to come by. I do think he's pretty situation-dependent. I think he gets good money and leaves. I don't think I'm a buyer. I think I'm a seller.
Yep, sell. Sell, sell, sell.
Okay, let's keep going. Drew Dahlman, center for Atlanta, 26 years old, 76.9 PFF grade, but he's missed a lot of time this year with injuries. He's been brilliant as a starter, though. When they called on him as a rookie, he stepped in, and since then, it's been nothing but brilliance. And we all know it. It's a great line to be a part of. Atlanta has consistently put together one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Can he do the same thing without it? Ultimately, I think he does re-sign on a semi-team-friendly deal, considering he's coming off of an injury. And at 26 years old, I think I'm a buyer of Drew Dahlman. And I don't think he'd be that expensive.
I don't think he'd be terribly expensive. And you have to think with the Falcons, knowing what they have at quarterback moving forward. Yes, you have the Kirk Cousins contract right now, but you understand that the plan is for Michael Penix to get some time here, whether it's next year or the year after, and you'll be dealing with that rookie contract window. You can structure contracts in a way where if you want to keep someone around who's 26 years old and you either defer some money or structure it in a way where you deal with that hit 2 years from now, you can absolutely do that. And so I look for Dahlman to stay there in Atlanta, and that's a good fit.
Cool. All right, we're both buying. Dre Greenlaw, linebacker, San Francisco. We talked about it a little bit last week, 28 years old, 87.6 PFF grade in the one game he's played this year. But he's been one of the best linebackers in football when he is healthy. He's coming off of a pretty bad injury. So I think he needs to show us enough in the next few weeks that he is back and healthy for me to trust it, because I do like it, right? If he shows that and is healthy to end the year and then has a whole offseason to continue to rehab and get healthier, I'm all for buying this guy. 28 years old doesn't scare me with a guy with his talent and the way he plays.
Yeah, I have to see it. I would not buy right now because I would have to see it, but that injury always scares me. It would take a lot. I would need to see a lot of blue from here on out for me to consider it.
Okay, last but not least, Ray, I saved this one. Justin Fields, backup quarterback for the Steelers, 26 years old, had a 71.5 PFF grade before he was benched for Russell Wilson. And Russ has been fantastic, so Justin Fields remains on the bench. And again, the first few weeks of the season, he looked fantastic. And then he started to struggle, and the Steelers benched him. I think personally that somebody is going to give him an opportunity to compete. I don't know what that looks like, right? It could be that he's competing with another veteran like he did this year, or it means he's competing with a rookie to give that rookie time to develop before they decide to start him. I don't know what that's worth, but I did see, and I'm broadcasting this out there, I did see somebody offer in a league a first and second round pick for Justin Fields during the season when Russell Wilson was the starter. Justin Fields had been benched, and I saw somebody offer a first and second, and I saw the trade get declined. People out there are believing in Justin Fields. I don't know what to make of it. I also don't know what he's actually worth, right? Like, what is the actual value of Justin Fields right now, and are we buying and selling?
Just tell me the name. I'll join that league if there's an opening then, and I'll pick up all the Justin Fields is out there. I'll pick them all up. Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Justin Fields, I'll pick them all up, and I will stock up on apparently first and second round picks and make some things happen. But no, I'm actually mad at you for even including him in this. No, I have zero shares of Justin Fields. I am acquiring zero shares of Justin Fields. But if I find out someone wants Justin Fields in my league, I guess I'm picking him up just to trade him away right away.
All right. You are in that league, by the way. I'm just going to put that out there. All right. Let's talk about the draft order shakeup, right? Last topic I got for us for the day. But there was some shakeup again, so we got to talk about it. Raiders are staying at number one after this week. They have Jacksonville, the Saints, and the Chargers remaining on their schedule. I think there's a chance they win one, right? Jacksonville has been pretty bad. New Orleans has been pretty bad. They don't have Derek Carr right now. Chargers have been good. They're probably going to lose that game. But I think there's a chance that they win one of the Jacksonville-New England games, Jacksonville-Saints games. And I don't know if they stay at that number one spot, but right now they are the number one. Giants are staying at two for the moment. They have Atlanta, Indianapolis, and Philly remaining on their schedule. The issue that I heard come up is, what if Philly decides to bench all their starters that last week of the season?
Doesn't matter. Have you seen Philly's roster? Their bench, their second string D-line is still going to harass whoever's even playing at quarterback anymore for the Giants. I don't even know who it is at this point anymore. And the game was on in my household the other day. I still have no idea who they have at quarterback anymore. It's not going to matter. I think it's very interesting. I do think the Raiders win one. At least they could win two. Yeah, that's really interesting. That's a storyline to keep an eye on for all you Shadur fans out there.
It really is, because I agree. I think at the end of the day, the Giants end up with the number one pick, and the Raiders may not even end up at number two if they keep winning football games. Patriots right now stayed at number three. They have Buffalo, the Chargers, and Buffalo again. So I think there's a very good chance that they lose out these three games, and I think they slide into that number two spot.
That's a great trade back opportunity for a team that has a quarterback already.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that, you know, they want to trade out to a team that wants a quarterback and is going to trade up for Cam Ward or something. Ooh, Drake May, you might have a lot of help coming soon. That's good news for the Patriots.
Yeah, and it's rough for Raiders fans. Jags moved from 5-4, and their remaining schedule is Vegas, Tennessee, and Indianapolis. I think they also might win a couple of those games, at least one. So I don't think they end up picking at number four. I think they fall down this list. Panthers are at 5. They go from 4-5. They have Arizona, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta. I could see them losing those games, although Arizona is a winnable game.
Yeah, I think so. They've played hard. They played hard, but I think they came back to earth against Dallas, and I think that might start a mini slide here to end the year.
Yeah.
But at least you found out you might not have to trade up for a quarterback, because that worked so well for them last time.
So the team next, the Browns, I think are the team most likely to move up also. I think they end up around 4 or 5. The Browns have Cincinnati, Miami, and Baltimore. That's tough. That is tough for a team that's struggling to score points.
It's a really bad, bad year to really fall off the cliff and pick what, fourth, and all the quarterbacks are gone, or if there are quarterbacks in this draft, according to how you feel about them, that's pretty rough. It's a rough year to have your bottom fall out of from under you.
I already see the Browns Milroe or Ewers jerseys.
That's not going to fix anything. It's not going to fix anything.
I see it. I'm just telling you, I see it.
I'm the team I hate for Oregon next year, like the Oregon Ducks. So I don't know what they're getting their hopes up for.
The Jets are at 8. They moved from 7 to 8. They have the Rams, Buffalo, and Miami. They also might be moving up this list.
They're going to win at least one. They're going to stay right around where they are. Just watch. They're going to win at least one. They're going to mess around.
Yeah, I mean, they could beat Miami. Miami is one of those teams that in any week they could lose or win against anyone, right? That's kind of how they are. So that'll be interesting to follow. The Bears, they stay at 9 currently. They have Detroit, Seattle, and Green Bay. Could they win any of those interconference games? Absolutely. But those are some teams that are playing very, very well right now and will be hard wins for the Bears. So I see them moving up this list as well. And then the Saints staying at 10. They have Green Bay, they have Vegas, and they have the Buccaneers.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. The teams you have to watch out for are the Patriots and the Raiders. What's going to happen is the Patriots are going to finish 2nd overall with the 2nd pick, and they're going to trade with the Browns. The Browns are going to get desperate, and they're going to trade up for Cam Ward because Quinn Ewers is going to go ahead and mess around and go back and transfer to Oregon or something, and the Browns are going to give Deshaun Watson 2025. I'm not even sure when that contract guarantee is up. Might be after 2026 for all we know. But I think they know enough to know he's not the answer. You get kind of a mobile athletic quarterback in that same mold that probably should sit at least a year because of his tendency to put the ball in harm's way, but has some potential and playmaking ability in Cam Ward. Let's make it happen. Let's see the Patriots trade down with the Browns, get some assets, let the Browns get their quarterback. Jerry Jeudy's emerged as the top receiver here, and it's a win-win for both sides. And if you're a Drake May owner, you are ecstatic about that because he's shown you enough where you were probably iffy about what he would look like in what was supposed to be a devastatingly bad situation for him. He's made it work, and now we can get some reinforcements. They can still draft a top receiver at, 6? Let's make that happen all day. Please, let it happen.
I'm interested to see what this receiver group looks like because – it seems like it's good. Like McMillan is the clear number one, but Burden has been in that conversation. I want to know what the fall off is between those two guys. How different is it? How big of a gap is there? And then how big of a gap is there between those two and everybody else? I don't know yet, but you know, I know you're like a all year scout, so I'm curious what you think.
It's good enough. This receiver class is good enough. Elikai Maynard's one that there's enough guys here. It's a pretty good class. Listen, it's not like last year where after the top three, you wanted to put Brian Thomas Jr. in there as a fourth type of boom or bust guy who seems to be more of a hit now for sure. After that, you weren't feeling too great about it. This is much deeper this year.
Awesome. All right. Well, this weekend, guys, there are a ton of games to watch in the college world. If you are ready to start scouting, we have Notre Dame in Indiana Friday, December 20th. We have Penn State SMU on Saturday, the 21st, Clemson, Texas, and Tennessee, Ohio on Saturday as well. So you have tons of scouting to get ready for. Ray, where are you going to be this weekend, buddy?
I'm going to be with you, Chris. So where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm going to be at Penn State. So if anybody's out there, if anybody's at that game and wants to hit us up, let us know. We're going to be bouncing around, having a great time. Super excited for that. We will be whited out for sure. It's actually my first Penn State game. What a game to go to, right? I'm super pumped about this. Also, if things go bad, it'll probably be the last one I ever get invited to. So we'll see about that. Buddy.
You might not make it back to New York, but let's just keep the good vibes going. So we'll be out there in person. First round of the college football playoff, the 12 round, or not 12 round, 12 team playoff first round rendition. So we're excited about that. It's going to be bitter cold. We love it. It's football weather. It's everything you could ask for. So yeah, we'll be there in person taking notes, bringing back some insights home once we, warm ourselves back up in the cold Northeast here. And looking forward to it, man. Can't wait.
Cool, man. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X at @all22_PFF. And give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. And have a great day.
Go.